So both conditions have to be met. If one is met, it's not enough. And sometimes there's confusion because someone will look at a particular animal and say, well, it meets this condition, but it has to meet both, according to Yahweh's word. Verse 9, these may you eat of all that are in the waters, whatever has fins and scales in the waters, in the seas and in the rivers, that you may eat. Again, two conditions. The fish must have fins, and the fish must have scales. And all that have not fins and scales in the seas and in the rivers, of all that move in the waters, and of all the living creatures that are in the waters, they are an abomination to you. And then it continues to describe that you shall not eat these things. Okay, so you will find that things such as bass and trout and other fish that we're commonly familiar with that have fins and scales, these are things that are acceptable, whereas things that are, for example, shellfish, crustacean-type creatures, lobsters, crabs, etc., these are things that don't meet the conditions of having the fins and the scales. And then you find some fish that may have one, but not the other. Again, both conditions have to be met. So we have to be very precise in that. And then verse 13, and these you shall have in abomination among the birds. They shall not be eaten. They are an abomination. The eagle and the gear eagle and the black vulture. And then it goes on to describe several other things explicitly mentioned. Now, in this case, with the birds, of course, we do not have specific conditions that Yahweh describes as have to be met. But as you look at these specific examples, you tend to see a pattern of scavenger-like creatures that you're not to eat amongst the birds. And through the course of history, we know that there are certain things such as chicken that you can eat, and you know, duck has been debatable from time to time, depending on who you talk to. But the bottom line is that there's a commonality in the types of birds that are mentioned that you could see the logic. I mean, who amongst us would want to eat a vulture or an eagle? You know, they're not very appetizing to begin with, but there are certain things that they do in terms of their nature that would lead us to understand why Yahweh would want us to keep away from those things. And then verse 20, all wing creeping things that go upon all fours are an abomination to you. Yet these may you eat of all wing creeping things that go on all fours, which have legs above their feet with which to leap upon the earth. Even these of them you may eat, the locust after its kind, the bald locust after its kind, the cricket after its kind, and the grasshopper after its kind. But all winged creeping things which have 4 feet are an abomination to you. Now we can go to an in-depth discussion about this, but truth be told, in our culture commonly today, you don't typically eat these types of things. Now, you know, we could, upon examination, find out which ones would be appropriate. Okay, maybe you want to have them chocolate covered or something, but the fact of the matter is that most of us don't really eat locusts nowadays, okay, and things such as that. But Yahweh, the point is that Yahweh describes what may be in and what may not be in. Let's go a little further, verse 24. And by these you shall become unclean. Whoever touches the carcass of them shall be unclean until the evening. So not even just eating them, but touching their carcass, the dead bodies, is sufficient to make you ritually unclean. And whoever bears anything of the carcass of them shall wash his clothes and be unclean until the evening. And then you can continue reading throughout this passage, and it'll describe to you additional laws, which we don't have time to get into at the moment. But Yahweh describes very clearly what things we may and may not eat. But notice the key to all of this, and we will go to verse 44 of this chapter. So stay in the chapter for just a second. And we'll go to verse 44 in just 1 second. Notice the key, as we read this, to all of this is holiness. Holiness. Verse 44. For I am Yahweh your Elohim. Sanctify yourselves, therefore, and be holy, for I am holy. Neither shall you defile yourselves with any manner of creeping thing that moves upon the earth. For I am Yahweh that brought you up out of the land of Egypt to be your Elohim. You shall therefore be holy, for I am holy. So I want you to notice this very significant point in relation. It's very basic to the dietary laws, as it is to so many of Yahweh's commandments. When we understand that the term holy means separated for Yahweh's service, it is a separation, a distinction between something that is common or base, and something that is special and significant because Yahweh has given it a special purpose as his people. When you understand that, you understand the true intent of laws such as the dietary laws and the Sabbath and the holy days, etc. So notice that the key to all this is holiness. While people in the world may want to use health reasons as a convenient way to dismiss these dietary laws in our day, the truth of the matter is that the laws are intended for holiness. And health benefits just naturally follow from obeying Yahweh's word. In other words, health benefits are important, but they are a secondary reason to keep the dietary laws. Purity and holiness are the main reason, because Yahweh has commanded us to do so. It's like they asked one rabbi at some point, why don't you eat pork? And he said, I don't say I don't eat it because I don't like the taste of it. I don't eat it because Yahweh has said that I should not eat it. And that's a very significant statement. We do things oftentimes because Yahweh simply has said, don't do it. And because he's our Heavenly Father, we trust in his word. And we know that there is a greater purpose. And we know that that purpose, in fact, is holiness and being separate and distinct.